Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Houston Bigfoot. This is Dr. John Stamey. So glad to have everybody with us tonight. We've got a great show tonight. First of all, I want to introduce my co-host, Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
Doing great. Feeling well rested and ready to talk about some Bigfoot.
Well, I think we are. And we've got our favorite guest on tonight from Ewing, Virginia. Matt, I hope you don't mind me telling where you're from. From Ewing, Virginia, none other than Matt Delph. How are you doing tonight, buddy? Talk to us.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, yeah. I don't care if you tell them. It's hard enough to find where I live. Just telling people the town I live in, that's how small it is. But, yeah, I'm doing great.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you have a stoplight in Ewing?
No, we have a caution light.
Hey, Matt, that's where I grew up. That was Glen Alpine, North Carolina. Oh, my gosh, that's great.
Yep, we've got a caution light. I think there are two gas stations, a Amish, they have a, or the Mennonite, whatever they are, they have a little store, and we have a Dollar General, an IGA, and another grocery store. So we got three little stores, actually, and two gas stations. But as far as restaurants and stuff go, we don't have anything like that other than the Amish place. They got some pretty good stuff. The Dutch Treat's what it's called. So there's a promotion for Dutch Treat.
we'll have to come up there and go to the Dutch Treat. That sounds like fun. Now I know why every time we have a conference and we go out to eat, you're so excited to go out because you don't have any restaurants in your own town. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
So that's good.
It takes me 35 minutes to get to a Walmart.
Really?
That's bad when you're 35 minutes to get to a Walmart.
Well, that's okay. At least you can get to one. So that's better. That's better than nothing. And so anyway, we're glad to have you on tonight. And I'm going to put you on the spot, Matthew Delph. Tell us an interesting Bigfoot story. Tell us something that's going to get our juices flowing for tonight.
All right. Well, since we're talking about my little hometown, it's in the middle of parts unknown, as you call it. That area there is actually a pretty interesting area. They've done, I think, 4 episodes of Mountain Monster, that show from my county. A lot of activity going on in that little county. And I've had in the past, I'd say since 2018, I've had several Bigfoot reports, several hyena type animal reports, and I've actually got to where it's such a small town that up there that the local vet, I know the people that work in there, and they will notify me if there's like something like livestock kills, stuff like that. So a lot of stuff going on actually up there, and I'm going to be doing an expedition, and I'll be video and documenting all that here coming up soon. But just a little history of the area. It's kind of interesting is back in, I think it was, I never put any thought into it until after I had my first encounter back in 1996 with a Bigfoot, but I think it was 97, 98, it was right around 2000. They had, right there in Lee County, Virginia, as you go up this mountain, they call it the White Rocks and Sand Cave, they used to rent out horses so you could ride up there. Well, I think it was right around 2000, 2001, somewhere in that area. They had one of the horses got slaughtered there by something, and it had 8 from its front legs to its back legs. And, of course, they just have to write it up as a bear attack or whatever. But that kind of got my, you know, interest going on there. And didn't realize till later on, through the years I investigated, I got a lot of reports from certain areas up there. And 2018, there was a horse kill, and it was in this area they call Flatwoods. And the history of that area is kind of interesting because my great-grandma and great-grandpa used to live up there. And, of course, everybody knows I'm originally born and raised in Indiana, northern Indiana, actually. So when we'd come down on vacation, we would – I always hated because my great-grandma and grandpa, they were backwoods. Whenever you went up there to the Appalachian Mountains, you went to their house there, we would have to park on the road, and you would have to hike up to their house. So you're going through this little trail up to the mountains there, up into where their cabin was, and they didn't have electric, they didn't have running water, you had an outhouse. And, of course, as a kid, I always hated that. Everybody's like, oh, gosh, we're going to great-grandma and grandpa's. Everybody use the bathroom before we leave, you know. And so we would get up there, and they would tell us. I never thought a lot about it until later on as I look back now. But my great-grandpa, I remember as a young kid there, he would tell me, don't go down this one area. He said, the devil's down there. And, of course, you know, as a kid, I'm thinking, well, he's just – telling me to keep me away from, you know, wandering off up there. So, but as the time went on, I remember one time, like I said, it was a pretty good hike down from their house down to the main road to the car. And they didn't have a car or anything. And there was, it was like a bus, but it was a grocery store inside this bus that would come down to the main road. It'd stop, and he would go down there and get his groceries from it. And we'd hike back up the trail. I'd go down there with him, get on the bus, and it was kind of neat. I mean, it's just like a traveling grocery store on there. And we'd hike back up to the cabin. And I remember one time him telling us that, said, you know, hey, you guys need to get going before it gets dark, because he said the wild man, the old wild man of the woods is back around this area. And of course, you know, we thought, whatever, you know, we didn't know for sure what it was. Just, of course, me being a kid, you know, I didn't ever, at the time, you never believe in Bigfoot or feral people or anything like that. But the next day, so we left early before it got dark, and then the next day we went up there to visit, and there was a box of nails that was sitting on the front porch. Well, everything, all those nails was out of the box, and they were propped up on the porch, you know, with the point sticking up and the flat head down so they could sit up. But they were all taken out of that box and just lined up on that porch. And, of course, we thought that was pretty weird. They said it was that old man of the forest who come back up here last night. He was up here messing around. He was, you know, playing with the nails or whatever and put them up there. And you know, I wish I would have known stuff, you know, but I was really young then. But now a lot of my reports here in the past, since like 2018, have come from that general area. Another interesting fact is my dad and my cousin, they were, whenever they were younger, they were playing in a creek that was down there, and there was a rock that had been pushed back, and it had steps going down into this cave. So there's cave systems underneath that area as well. But since it's 2018, had a report of this woman said that this farm, their 1,000-pound full-grown horse was killed. It was slaughtered. I mean, it was just like ripped apart. I talked to the animal control and the vet down there, and they told me, whenever they looked at it and the police report, stuff like that, they just wrote it up as a bear attack. And the animal control, he looked at me and he said, you know what? He said, I don't know what it was. He said that it had metal fence posts were bent. He said that he thought it got it while it's trying to get water. And I told him, hold on. So they found it right. There's a pond there. And it had gotten the thousand, that, I mean, full, like I said, full-grown horse. Now, a lot of times, I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible, but a bear or a mountain lion usually kind of stay clear of those. Now, I've seen videos where they'll attack a donkey sometimes, but they take the risk. These large predators take the risk of getting kicked in the jaw. And if their jaw gets broke, then they're dead because they can't eat, you know, out in the wild. So a lot of times they kind of stay away from the bigger prey. But this, he said, there was so much blood, and it was just like ripped to pieces all over the place. And he said he just rode up his bear cat because he didn't know what it was. So then 2 weeks had passed, and a mile down the road, another horse on another farm, same thing. Same thing had happened. I try and talk to the people that live there on the farm, and they're like, they're older. You know how the backwoods people are. They're like, they didn't want nobody around on their property. They just said they're not going to talk about it. They didn't want to talk about it. That they were like, no, you got to, you know, they believed that if you talked about it, it would bring it on even more. So they're like, no,
yes,
don't,
but,
you know.
Now, Matt, now there are a lot of people that believe that the more you talk about bad things like this, the more they will happen. So it's not like they're speaking out of turn. It really isn't. So please go ahead.
Yeah, it goes along with the whole law of attraction. Everything is energy, so that's how you manifest things. You know, you think positive things, good things come to you. If you think bad things, then of course bad things are going to be drawn to you, negative energy. So they didn't want no part of it. They didn't want me on their land. They didn't want me to investigate the site, nothing like that. And I'm like, okay. Well, then there's five witnesses that on that same road in that area, they had told me, and like I said, it was older women. They was in their 50s and 60s, and they said they had seen this animal out in the road, and they had never seen anything like it. They know what a bear looks like. They grew up, you know. These are backwoods people, grew up in these, what they call the hollers up there, and they're like, it wasn't a wolf. It wasn't a mountain lion. It wasn't a wild boar. They said this thing that had jumped out into the road had a upper body that was kind of bulky, had the back legs were smaller. It was pretty good size, and they said it was like a dark brown. But they said what stuck out to them was they said it, the closest thing that they could say that it looked like resembled a hyena. They said, but it wasn't a hyena. They said it resembled one, but it wasn't a hyena. So, and, you know, you could tell that they had seen something when I interviewed them. They were like, you know, I don't know what this thing is. People are going to think we're nuts, you know. And they said one thing that really stood out was this thing was super fast. As it ran in front of the car, it stopped, and they had their headlights on it, and they looked at it, and it looked at them, and it's super fast, and it went flying off the road. So then I get another one. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
I want to hypothesize something because I've been doing a good bit of dog man research. It sounds like they're talking about dog man.
Yes, there's a hyena-type dog man as well that people speak of. Now, got another report from somebody else not too far from there. There was at the dumpsters because in this area you don't have trash pickup. You know, you got a local dump. Everybody goes down. They take their trash to the dumps. Well, in that area, the dumpsters, they had told me that they seen basically the same thing that those women had described. And they said it was super fast, and it was coming from the dumpsters. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it ran across. And they said they got a pretty good look at it because there's a four-lane four-lane highway that goes through there. And they said that thing cleared the four-lane highway, like, just like a flash. They were like, what in the world was that thing? And they said, same description, upper body kind of bulky. They said they could tell it wasn't a wild boar. It had a tail, and it was just super fast. So I've got five witnesses now. Huh?
Yes,
did they say how big this thing was?
Well, they said the one that the four witnesses, the women, they said it was as shoulder height was, it was above the hood of their car. So whenever it went out there, they had almost hit it, kind of slowed down. It was, the shoulder height was above, it was on all fours, but it was above the top of their car. The shoulders in the front two legs was higher than the front end of their car, and it shot across the road. So that thing's pretty good size. You're looking at least 3-4 foot tall, maybe right around at the shoulder height probably. Because most of your cars are, what, 3 foot maybe high up in the front? Some are give or take, you know, depends on what type of car you had. I should have asked them what type of vehicle they were driving, though. I didn't ask them that. I should have. But this thing had went flying off there. Now, in that same area, I've had several Bigfoot reports. I had one that, not too far from that same road where that road goes down, had one, a Bigfoot report of a Bigfoot in the river that's close to it, because this road that they had seen this on, it leads down into, you'll have a creek, and then on the other side, just past the creek, there's a river, and it's Powell River. Then on the other side of that, this is what's interesting, there's a wildlife preserve. And why they have a wildlife, it's federal too, preserve out there. I have no clue why they would have it preserved. I mean, we're talking wilderness mountains forever up here, you know. Why would they pick this one general area just to preserve? And but all the reports, you know, of like the Bigfoot report in the river, on the other side of the river is south of the river, on the south side of the river is the wildlife preserve. Had a report of a right there as you go on this road, they call it Flatwoods Road, and it's Beech Grove Road because it, you know, close to the river, you got Flatwoods Road, then there's Beech Grove Road. Well, I had a report, this man and woman, they were driving, it was probably about 11 o'clock at night, and the husband was looking at his phone, the wife was driving, and she's like, what in the world is that? And he looks up, and by the time he looks up, all he's seen is a flash of something dark. And the woman said, there was something walking on two legs just across the road. And she's like, what in the world is that? And they contact me that night, actually. And I'm like, so the next day I'm questioning, and that morning, because the husband's mom lives not real far from that area. So they went back, they took a video. They're like, on this road, it was at this mile mark as they were driving. It was right through here in this area is where we had seen it. And I asked them, I said, did you go back? And the husband's like, he goes, I'm going to be honest with you. He goes, whenever, as scared as she was, he goes, I didn't have the balls to go back and investigate. He said, she goes, you want me to turn around and go back? And he said, nope. He said, nope, I believe you. Let's just keep going. And so I go back that same day. And I go back that same day to investigate the area. And I'm driving down. There was no place right there for me to pull off. So I parked in the middle of the road. But this is a back road. There's nobody coming. So I stop right in the road in the area and start checking the fence line. And the fence line, it goes right into that federal wildlife preserve. And there's no trespassing signs up. It says trespassers will be prosecuted. Federal wildlife preserve. Now, normally, you know, people can, a lot of this land, a lot of, you know, people could just hike on it or something. But No, this was, they was pretty strict on who got in there and who didn't.
Okay, so
you're thinking
maybe that whole preserve is there to hide something from someone, or
yes, or to keep.
Yeah,
they could be.
Yeah, they
could be running. Government could be doing something. Don't know for sure. And kind of interesting. Okay, you heard how small this town is, right? That I live in.
Right.
This is just a little, probably about 20 minutes from the town I live in. They put up an airport around 2000 or so. I can't remember exactly. They put a small airport. I don't know if you can hear the thunder or not. Can you hear it?
No, I didn't.
That's loud. It's still going. But they put this small airport, and the only thing comes in there are these, like, small planes, maybe one once a month, maybe once every 2-3 months, and that's it. So why they would put this airport right here, it makes no sense to me. But I had talked to, there's several individuals now, which I do a lot of research up in that area, and they'd shut down one little campground up there, I noticed. They, like I said, they filmed that show, Mountain Monsters, on there. They've got several episodes. I've talked to some people that's been up there, and they asked me about the hyena type thing. They told me to be careful because there's some wild stuff up in there, and they asked me if those hyena-type things had a tracking collar on their neck. I'm like, tracking collar? But none of the witnesses mentioned that. But these people that have been in that area doing some research asked me if it had a tracking collar. So, you know, to me, it kind of, you know, the wildlife preserve, this radio collar possibly.
Sounds like they could be breeding something like that, which is terrifying.
Exactly. You know, I know that U.S. government's tried to make super soldier stuff like that. And this area, I mean, it's prime for, you got cave systems, they could do anything they want up there because the population is so low up there, you know. I mean, I think there's like maybe 400 in that little town that I live in, and maybe 600 in the town next to it. There's not that many people at all in that area. Then I had a report just a little bit farther down the road from there that this gentleman had seen, he said it was three solid white Bigfoot crossing this mountaintop up there. And he said there are several witnesses. And last time I talked to him, this was last summer that they had seen it. And he said that, you know, he could let me talk to the other witnesses, that they'd watched them cross this field. I'd never heard of three of them together like that, a report of three of them together crossing that, that, you know, together or crossing like that in the open field. I've heard of one, you know, maybe running across a field or something, but not three of them just casually kind of walking across the field like that, which I thought was kind of interesting. But I'm going to go back later on. He knows a back road, an old logging road that could get me to the top of the mountain up there so I can do some research. Now, all this whole area, it goes that same mountain chain as it goes down, it goes into where it is to the town of Norton and Big Stone Gap. And I do a lot of research there in the town of Norton. It's got the High Knob area, which is a Bigfoot preserve. It's illegal to, it's a sanctuary, Bigfoot sanctuary, that you're not allowed to hunt any of them up there or anything like that. And they've had that show Finding Bigfoot up there do an episode when they were researching up there. So all this is linked together along this mountain chain from my house all the way up to there and probably even up farther. And you've got all this Indian burial mounds. You've got all kinds of crazy stuff that's in this area. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the North American Dogman Project, but it's a group that they do research, kind of like the BFRO, but just for Dogman reports. And the North American Dogman region for the guy that does state of Virginia has actually been researching in my area, and he's a former, I believe they said he was a former CIA, FBI, something like that. And he was a part of MUFON, too. He's state director of Virginia for MUFON. But him and a bunch of other people, they said, I've had reports of all these unmarked SUVs up there, all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, that just basically leads to somebody, a third party, possibly, you know, an outside entity, maybe contractor, somebody up there doing some research up there in my area. And it's just not like, you know, the whole area is nothing but high strangeness. Like I said, it's nothing but high strangeness. I got a one night, it was, I've still got the voice, the voicemail it left, but this is kind of wild, was right as you first get into Virginia there, there's a park. It's Cumberland Gap National Park. Well, it was Friday the 13th. It was September 13th, 2019, because I still got it on my phone. Now, my phone, whenever I get a phone call, make note of this, whenever I get a phone call, it comes through as it'll show the number if they're not a contact. Even if it's a toll-free, if it's anybody, you know, the number always appears. Now, if somebody's blocking their number, it will show restricted. It never comes up unknown. It always shows restricted. Well, I had been to Smoky Mountains. I was coming home that Friday 13th, and September 13th, 2019, and it was about 11:30 at night, and there's a full moon on that night, on Friday 13th, 2019. And I'm not positive, but this was kind of weird. It might have been called the Wolf Moon. I'm not sure, but you'd have to look it up. But as I'm going up into Virginia there, I'm talking at the time to a girlfriend of mine, and this straggly-looking wolf, looking dog, coyote, I don't know what is bigger than a coyote, but, I mean, this thing's mangy-looking, come running out in the road. I slam on my brakes, about hit it. I'm like, what the F, you know? And she's like, what is it? And I'm like, some kind of mangy mutt just ran out here in front of me. And it gave me this funny look. It was hilarious because it gave me this funny look. And I was like, yeah, you better get out of the road, giving me that look. But, I mean, it gave me a look that was pretty wild. And as it jumped off the road, as soon as it jumped off the road, as it entered the woods, I got this phone call. And I'm like, this is weird. I'm getting a phone call now. And it comes up unknown. Well, I let it go to voicemail. And after I get off the phone with her and I play the voicemail back, it sounds Native American, this voicemail message. It's like a scream. At first I thought it was somebody sneezing, but it's like a woo-ha. And I'm like, what in the world? And it happened immediately after that thing had crossed in front of my path and jumped into the woods. I still got it. I played it on computer. Me and research partner Angelia Shear, she's got all this stuff on her computer, and she would play it backwards and forwards, and she's like, that sounds Native American. So you've got all kinds of crazy stuff like that going on in this area. And the episode of Mountain Monsters, they talk of witches in my county there. And it was 2 weeks ago I had tried to, 4th of July weekend, I was told of a witch that was buried supposedly close to my house. And I went to the area where they said that the tombstone is, and they've got it gated off up there now, and it's all grown up, so I'm going to have to wait till this fall. But supposedly, I took a picture of the area, and they said it's not marked graveyard, but there's a headstone, and I believe it's facing the west. So, and it's got a pentagram on the tombstone, and it's got, it says witch or something like that on it. And as soon as I can get in that area, I'm going to try and find it and take a picture of it. But if it's buried to the west, they used to bury a lot of the witches towards the west, because most people get buried towards the east, because whenever Christ comes back, he's supposed to come back from the east or something like that is what they were telling me. So they would bury the witch's face in the west. So you've got all this crazy history going on, and I don't know if it's full moon, Friday 13th or what, but it seems like it. That's when you get most activity. Of course, the full moon, you know, you got the energy from the moon. But and this is another time I've had Jessica Jones on ScaryCast. I was talking to her one night. I'd left work in the middle of the night. Now, I'm not positive. It was a full moon. I can't remember if it was Friday 13th or not. But this was last year as I was driving home. And it's weird because I seen that coyote-type thing again. Something like that goes running across the road. Seen a shooting star. And then there's this flame on the side of the road just burning. I'm like, what in the world? So I snap a picture of it. I'm talking to her on the phone. I'm like, Jessica, I'm seeing this flame. She's like, what? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's a memorial. But it's an actual fire, flame, burning on the side of the road. And it's up high. It's on the other side of the guardrail. So I figured like a tiki torch or something was sitting up. You know how the flames off of a torch? And I'm like, that's kind of interesting. So I go back the next day. I see it. I snap a picture. Go back next day, and there's nothing there. No signs of anything burning. I've got the picture of it. I've got the voicemail that thing had left, whatever it was. Like I said, there's a lot of strange, that's where in these areas you get all this high strangeness going on, from witches, Big Stone Gap, the vampire, Rupp, all these Bigfoot reports, all these witch reports, all these hauntings. Now this hyena-type creature going on, all this up in this one area. Of course, it's, and then you've got the wildlife preserve for no reason being in there. I mean, you know, you've got all these mountains, not like they're in any danger of losing forest land in this area. So it makes you wonder, you know, what really is going on in these areas.
So, Matt, you've got a lot more experience on the, like, actual on the field. You got way more experience than I do on that. I was curious, like, with the whole wildlife reserve restrictions and, you know, you're not supposed to be in there. Is there something, can you notice, like, people around watching to make sure no one does go in there? Is it just fenced off? Because I feel like there would be.
Yeah, it's just fenced off with signs.
People. Yeah, go ahead.
The thing of it is, though, this area, I could get in there, and not saying I may or may not be in there sometimes, but I will not admit to anything, but it's in such an isolated place. If you drove down these back roads, you can drive down these back roads out here, and we are talking nothing. If you get lost out in here, you might as well just try and become a feral human. I mean, it is nothing. So going down that road, the traffic, stuff like that on these back roads, you may pass somebody going in or out. Middle of the night, you never see nobody. So, like I said, whether they're watching that area or not, if I had to guess, I'd say they're not watching it closely because in the middle of nowhere, you know, they'd be sitting there. That'd be kind of pointless for them to sit there all week long, have an eye on it, and maybe see one or two cars in the middle of the night go through it all week long. You know, that's how backwoods this area is, and it's
right. It just
surrounded.
Just takes that one person.
Yep, exactly. So you know, and you know, most people don't think of this stuff because they make a mockery of it. And I found out firsthand that they, you know, how they cover this stuff up really good because, like I said, I do a lot of boots on the ground in the field research. And in 2003, not far from Cumberland Gap there, they had in La Follette, Tennessee, and is Jacksboro and La Follette, Tennessee. They both match up. You know, they're side-by-side little towns. You drive from, as soon as you cross the line, you're in Jacksboro, and then the other one's La Follette. And they're small little towns. It's bigger than where I live. But for 2 weeks straight in 2003, the last week of October and the first week of November in 2003, on the news, they had all these reports, and they kept talking about a Bigfoot in Campbell County. They start calling it a skunk ape. And every day they had a new report. It would be on the radio or in the newspaper. So I've got a couple guys that work for me that live in that little town. And they tell me, you know, they're telling me, yeah, some crazy stuff going on there. Of course, me being a researcher back in 2003, so I go and I start nosing around investigating. And I get turned on to this one witness, and she told me that the sheriff of La Follette, Tennessee, and a group of guys that looked like a SWAT team had told her to keep her animals inside. And, of course, she reported, you know, how much activity she had on her property. And they went in there, and she said she heard gunfire, and she heard it screaming. And she said she seen a black figure fall. It was walking by, that on it fall in the back of her field. So it's laying out there. They said that she said that they took it out of the helicopter, and she asked them why they're killing it. And the sheriff told her because they're a nuisance and they wanted them gone. Now, if you go back and you look at all the reports, and I showed a lot of my lectures and stuff that I do, is all the reports and stuff, if you click on the links now, page not available. And we're talking several reports every day coming out for 2 weeks straight of this activity. And what was interesting was you've got, I could tell that woman, you know, how much of her story was real or not. You know, I don't know, but I could tell that she had seen something, she knew something. You could tell just from my own experience of being out in the field, and whenever, you know, you encounter something that's not supposed to exist, it shakes you up pretty bad. And you
right.
could tell she was pretty stressed. And the witnesses, this is what was wild, was how the media and everybody covered it up. They were bringing these witnesses and putting them on the news. They were getting all these backwoods people. And they were bringing them out, the witnesses. They're like, this one woman, she come out there, she goes, yeah, I come out of the front of my trailer, and it was stealing apples out of my yard. And then I was standing on the porch, and it threw a kitten at me. And another one said, yeah, it's out here in the yard, and it was taking a dump in my front yard. So they put all these people to make a mockery of it, you know, these people that are, you know, they're good people, just uneducated. So they put them out there for it to make a laugh and mockery about it. And what was interesting, though, was all the people had told me that the people that was out there investigating it were – they kept telling people they were members of the BFRO, and which was probably a lie. That, you know, I know that they brought a biologist from University of Tennessee there, and to, you know, take the samples or whatever. And they were showing pictures. You've seen the Patterson-Gimlin film, correct?
Absolutely.
As it's walking across 1967. Well, they had a picture of that.
Yesterday.
Well, they had a picture of him or her, and they had a picture of the Myiaca skunk ape. And the Myiaca skunk ape resembles an orangutan. And all the witnesses were saying it looked like the orangutan. They said it wasn't an orangutan, but it looked just like that picture from the Myiaca skunk ape, which is another form of a Bigfoot. A lot of people,
yeah,
you know, crack call it
a googly or something like that, Matt?
They just call it the Myiaca skunk ape. And what's interesting was my very first encounter resembled more, which I didn't get to see the face on my first encounter, but the outline and stuff resembled the Myiaca skunk ape, the orangutan type. It wasn't the cone-shaped patty type. And, you know, that was way up northern Indiana. So it's just whatever that type is, it's just not in the Everglades in Florida. And that all them reported that it was, you know, looked like that one. And so if you go on their website now and all the news reports and stuff, you click on them, page not found, page not found, page not found. And then in 2014 or 15, a man at 6 o'clock in the morning come to the police station, and he was covered in blood, and he told them that he had got attacked by some animal, said it wasn't a bear. He didn't know what it was. It had long black coarse hair, and it attacked him, and he had over 200 and some stitches. So, of course, they put reports out, could be a bear, rogue bear loose, and he kept telling everybody. He went on the news. He showed his stomach and everything. It's all sliced up where all the stitches he had. He said he didn't know why. They keep calling it a bear. He told them it wasn't a bear. He didn't know what it was that had attacked him. I go back, and I look to see where he had come from, and it was called, it got like College Station Road, and that is where all the reports back in 2003 were coming from of this skunk ape type Bigfoot. So he was in the same area that he got attacked. Now, 6 months later, you go and look, and they said it was a false report, which is stupid because they didn't say, well, what, because, I mean, he went on TV and showed, you know, the news interviewed him again, and he, no shirt on, showed his whole body all sliced up. So something cut him up, but they didn't say, they just said it was a false report. They wouldn't say what caused him to get cut up. But he did come from that same road of all those reports in 2003.
So
Matt, Matt, you've been on that road before, correct?
Yes, yes, I have. There's an old lake back there. Yeah, I've cruised that area. And what kind of goes hand in hand is kind of cool was in those area on the opposite side of the town, they've got an elk population that's growing. And Bigfoot, from reports and people talking, they love young elk for a food source. So, you know, all these, you know, common denominators are all lining up. But what I thought was interesting is how they cover this stuff up, and they try and make a mockery of it. And if you start questioning, then, you know, they try and classify you as crazy, or they won't interview. Like I've got a doctor that's on one of my crew. He's a children's doctor out of Chattanooga, and he's a pediatrician, and he does Bigfoot. You know, you never see those type of people, these pharmacists, all these type of people. They never put them on the news or anything. They always find these backwoods people to put out there to, you know, make a mockery of it, not take it serious, that kind of stuff. Now, the guys that worked for me, they told me that they had seen black helicopters around La Follette, Tennessee, and Jacksboro, right there in Campbell County, that day that woman was talking about that they had killed it. So there's some credibility there just from the witnesses that worked for me and then her telling their story. But they'd like to keep it hush-hush.
Well, maybe we can have some remnants of a story like this next time you're on. How does that sound, Matt?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, but if you notice, though, in all these areas, it goes along with the whole UFO and Bigfoot and alien and stuff, in all these areas, you've got these high strange events. It's all in these certain areas. So, you know, it's all hand in hand. That's where the whole connection is. it's all related, and people don't want to realize that. They want a Bigfoot community, want to say, no, it's this and this. And even the Bigfoot community split up. You got people saying, Bigfoot can't mind speak. It's a flesh and blood animal. And then you got the other side saying it's not a flesh and blood animal. But the Indians, even the Native Americans in the areas, would tell you there was a what they called the Watcher of the Woods that would mind speak, telepathically speak to you. It would show up in spirit form, and it was good. And then you would have other type that said that these things were cannibalistic. They would steal their women and children, and they were at war with them, and so on. So, but I think in this whole area, all these areas, you've got different beings, but everybody always wants classified as a Bigfoot. But you've got different species of different types of things. But if it's covering hair, they always want to jump as the whole Bigfoot thing. We need to come up with a different type of classification for the different, just because it's covered in hair doesn't mean that it's, you know, what this person, it's all in perception. What these people perceive Bigfoot compared to this other group, and that's where they get all this conflict, but they're not getting anywhere by fighting, arguing over it. If you've ever had an encounter with this stuff, you've got to keep an open mind because you're opening up a different channels. You know, your brain, you're open up, and you're like, holy cow, well, if this is real, what else is? Am I making any sense?
Yes, you are. I'm sorry. I was just a little stunned. I didn't have anything to say. Well, this is great stuff. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we want on Houston Bigfoot. Tell us what's going on. I personally think sounds like you've got an infestation of dog man. Now, what do you think about that,
yeah.
Matt?
I believe so. I believe that there's definitely some dogman type creatures, because in Harlan, which is on the other side of the mountain, is where I did a conference there, and I had witnesses coming up to me talking about all these dogman reports up there. So, and that's just right across the mountain. So, you know, if they're there, they're on the Lee County, Virginia side as well. another thing that I know is you always hear these people talking about eye shine. I have never seen self-illuminating eye shine. I've seen reflective eye shine out in the field. Now, the self, which is great, because with this doctor that I've been out in the field with, and he made a great point, because I was trying to look up, okay, if these beings, it's not reflective eye shine, because most of your animals have reflective eye shine, except for most primates don't, and humans don't. I think maybe squirrels don't, and I'm not sure if wild boar, but most of your animals have reflective eye shine. I've had reports of these Bigfoot with these red glowing eyes. Now, that's where we jump into the whole scientific part of it. So whenever you get reflective eye shine, you got light goes in and it reflects back out. And it's the tape to lucidum that it reflects out. So if you've got a self-illuminating eye shine, if this thing just lights its eyes up and they're just without shining flashlight, you see two red eyes glowing, then, you know, to me, you're dealing with high-energy being, kind of like electric eel or whatever, because they can, you know, they produce their own electricity. And kind of explains a little bit of these, a lot of Bigfoot sightings around power lines, stuff like that. But it's got this energy. But the only thing is, like the doctor explained to me, if the eye shine, if it's self-illuminating, it won't be able to see. So that's what's interesting, because it blinds itself.
It will be temporarily blind if it generates its own eye shine, correct?
Yes. Unless there's something totally different with their eye than, like, every other creature's eye, you know, because that's why we don't have it, because we don't have, like, the tape delucidum. We don't have that reflective eye shine. Now, you might get a picture where you can take a picture and you get red eyes or whatever. And so I was looking into, you'll hear different people talk about, oh, well, it had this color of eye shine. Now, what makes up the different color of eye shine, like if it's, they said it would be green or it would be orange or red, Now, the mineral makeup of the taped lucidum is what makes up the color of the eye shine. So if I could figure out, you know, if that's DNA that makes up, you know, the mineral in the body for the taped lucidum, if it's it has to be DNA, but if it's diet, then you could narrow it down to these things got this type of red eye shine and are seen in all these berry patches, so forth, then, you know, that probably has something to do with it maybe. Or it would help you locate these areas a lot easier if you knew the diet and stuff, but which I'm pretty good at knowing, you know, certain areas, what they like, what they don't. Bigfoot, have you ever heard of the pawpaw trees? As soon as those things get ripe, you'll hear a lot of reports of Bigfoot activity. They love eating those things. That you'll hear a lot of Bigfoot activity around the areas that has the when the pawpaw trees are ready. So, you know, there's so much involved in all this research, and, you know, I'm just touching the surface of it. So, and whenever you start in this research, and between trying to fight the government covering stuff up, and you're learning, you know, it's not the only thing out here now. You know, you come across all these other creature stuff. It's a lot of work doing this research, and I've been doing it for a long time. And the best way to get your best experience and stuff is to, from all this other stuff, is, you know, you just got to get out in the field and experience it, a lot of it. I mean, you got some people that can't, which is, you know, I understand they have to, but you have to look at all angles. You have to keep an open mind on all this stuff. I don't know if I kind of swayed off our topic earlier, but...
No, it's been great, because you're talking about exactly what we want to hear is, like, what's it really like out there? I mean, I can tell you, when I have been out there in the woods, I have been terrified. I mean, I really have, and that's when I know something's going on. I'm a firm believer that when your internal system says you are frightened, then something's happening. Matt, do you agree with that or not?
Oh, definitely. I can feel stuff. I can feel energies out in the woods. I mean, I can tell you where, hey, there's something in this area. I can feel it. If it's dead, if it's nothing, then I can, you know, I'm like, okay, there's no activity. I can feel there's nothing here, but I can feel the energy. How?
Now, you've been around Jen Cruz. You've been around Jen Cruz too much of the She Squatchers. Yeah, she's
now,
good.
See,
she's really good.
Video on YouTube that I took them out to one of my areas that they had recorded. They got the thermal image. They put it on YouTube of something white in the area that was, it looked like it was working with something. And you can see it on the thermal. And they put the video up there. And it's from that area. You can find it on their YouTube page. But that area is just loaded with stuff. And like I said, I'm going to be doing expeditions up in there coming up here real soon, just trying to determine, because there's other factors when you do these expeditions. When it's super hot, right now the blackberries are ripe, and you got the black bears that are in the berries. You've got, you know, you're trying to go in through there, and you got copperheads and timber rattlers out there. And not only do you have to worry about these cryptids, you also have to worry about nature itself. So, which I'm going on expedition here at the 1st of August, and that's with that confidential, most of them are military people. I'll be going on expedition with them, but I'm trying to plan several expeditions up there in this area so I can have a lot more reports and hopefully come face-to-face with something pretty good up there.
Right.
Yeah, when we get on here and talk about all the cryptids and, you know, everything else that's out there, I almost completely forget about nature.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, the elements, I've been up on top of like where I took the Jen Cruz and Tammy and them, that area that they took their footage that they got. There was, we started out and the elevation change is what really, it drops 20 degrees from where you're at the bottom of the mountain and you start going up. And once we got to the top, there was just about a 20 degree temperature change that had dropped. So you're also dealing with the elements, all the wildlife. Now, another note in this area, the state record Virginia black bear, it was 792 pounds came from the set of woods that I investigate in. So, you know, dealing with huge black bears and copperheads, coyotes, everything else out there, red wolf, you know, the whole area. You've got to be on your toes.
Exactly. And Matt, I tell you what, we're glad that you're here to fill us in on all this. And we're getting near the near our witching hour, and wanted to know if you can you still come back one more week to kind of finish up some of these stories. We'd really love to have you next week as well. Think you could do that?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, good. All right. Well, Kyler, do you have any final questions for Matt? And then I'll have one for him, and then we'll all head out into the sunset.
Yeah. Final question. I'm still stuck on this wildlife preserve thing. It's been stuck in my head this whole time you've been talking about these other stories, because I just immediately think, well, okay, there's something in there, either whether they're making it or they're keeping it from getting out, from people seeing it, or there's so, I have so many questions. But I guess I'm, for you, my question is, is it common to hear about these reports in that area about something either getting loose or, you know, like you said, speeding across the road in just that same exact spot? And because
yeah.
I've never heard of all the dogman stories that I've heard from, you know, John and all the podcasts that we've been through. I've never heard of the dogman being super quick and hyena-like. That's the first time I'm hearing this.
Yeah, that most of your reports come from, like, your national parks, these areas that they have kind of minimized the population from people civilized, you know, being in these towns, stuff like that. And what's kind of interesting was Teddy Roosevelt. He was a big-time hunter. He's the one that developed the national park system. Now, he was a huge hunter, and he had reports of, you know, Bigfoot and other type animals in his hunting reports. And he's the one that come up with the national parks. And if you've ever looked, a lot of your missing people reports and a lot of your high strange events happen in these national parks, wildlife preserves, and so on. So these are definitely areas of interest. And it makes sense because, you know, they eliminate the population of people that can just live there and stuff. So it's, you know, it's often its own thing, land between the lakes. You know, they're just areas all over that they take away. I believe where I was, I had my first encounter up northern Indiana, they were trying to make that into a lake. They was wanting to flood it and make it into a lake. Now, it was in the 90s when they were trying to do that, so it wasn't like the 70s and the 60s where they used to force people from their homes. You know, now there's more legal ways for the people to fight that. But even to this day right now, they fought it off then, the community did, from that area that I had my first encounter of making it into a, they're going to make it into a lake. Now they're trying to make it into a rock quarry And just on the other side of the river from where I had my encounter, they had set up a wildlife reserve.
Wow, yeah, I'm really curious about that spot. Cool to go see one day.
It's like,
yeah,
again,
I mean,
what does that mean? Matt, what does that mean?
Huh?
We're going to make a wildlife reserve. What does that really mean? We don't know. We know that there are a lot of strange happenings in wildlife preserves and national parks and everything. So we just have to kind of go with the flow and watch what happens and go research as we can. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's the million-dollar question. What's going on in these? And that one, that report where they, I had actually found tracks going into the wildlife preserve that day, that after they had reported it to me, going into the wildlife preserve up there. So I knew something had went in there, that they just weren't seeing things, that something actually physically, they left physical tracks of going up into there. So,
yep.
Yeah, there's something going on with these.
Well, there are, and maybe we can talk some more about that next week. And so, again, we want to thank you for being here tonight on Houston Bigfoot. Kyler, we want to thank you for being here and tell everybody we'll be back next week with another episode with Matt Delf talking about natural parks, preserves, and everything. You know, that'll be a good topic for next time. So we'll get on that next time, and have a great week. And thanks for listening to Houston Bigfoot. We'll be back next Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. So thanks a lot for everybody for being here. And Matt, thank you, and we'll be back.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Take
Have a good night.
Good night.